Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Tony, I wanted to echo what Shaqsy was talking about Melvin's situation and how he managed the Giants in certain situations. And I was echoing him about the use of Eldridge like the other day. And I was commenting on how the other day Eldridge walked. The Giants was down one run. They sub him in for cost, and the guy dies at first base. Didn't become a threat or anything. Didn't run anything. And that's been like those kind of decisions from Melvin all season long. As far as Walker, Walker can walk as far as I'm concerned. And I'm serious. He can walk. I'm a Giants diehard. Been there since the Candlestick when I was 5-6 years old. And I don't know. I'm frustrated, and I understand Shaqsy's frustration as well. As far as being a coach, I coach myself. And you like you said, you want to build something. You want to see what these kids can do in certain situations. And he's not given the chance, and they show him in the dugout. He looks like he doesn't know what he's doing sometimes. Yep. Anyway, that was my morning comment. I'm a Giants diehard. You know what I'm saying? But I listen to you guys every morning going to work. Oh. And you guys, Shaqsy almost blew up my radio this morning.
Thanks, hey, JT.
I appreciate it, JT. You know, I just think, you know, this Giants season has been a frustrating one, but at least the passion is back. I think that's why it's such a building block type of a year for me when it comes to the Giants. They've been so lacking any kind of care from the fan base for so long. Apathy is probably the appropriate word, but like just lifeless for so long. I actually feel something when it comes to the Giants that's authentic. And it's not just from me, who's a psychopath when it comes to the Giants. It's from a lot more people. And I feel like the attendance numbers have clearly indicated that.
Yeah.
I think having everyday players that we care about, really, that has been a big indicator. And then also, you know, the way they've lost these games and the frustration from the fan base, I think in years past, it fell on deaf ears because no one was watching. Now, like, people are, like, angry. Like, look, I know, Ryan Walker, I'll defend him, and I will. I will defend him. He's not a ninth inning guy. He's a great setup man. I love him in the setup role. I don't love him in the closer role. I think the ninth inning is just different. But the fact that so many people are so angry with him right now tells me, like, at least Giants fans care. That's how bad it is. I'm happy we care.
Right.
So much to be mad at him. It's kind of sad, too.
Well, and he was kind of, and I agree with you in this part, he was put in a very difficult position. You get rid of your closer, Camilo Duvall goes, Rodgers leaves, Randy Rodriguez, your all-star this year, from the pitching from the bullpen's perspective, gets hurt. He's out for a year. Like, he was put in an unfavorable position when we all knew, and I'm sure he deep down knows, I'm not really a closer, but you keep yo-yoing him around early on in the season, too. Where's his confidence at? Hell, it was literally him and Spencer Bivens that you can count on that were at the start of this season. And then the wear and tear of all those close games, like you're not blowing other teams out, so there's a lot of high-leverage situations. Yeah, it's going to blow up in your face. And that's what happened. That's why I'm not really going to be too hard on the guy. I understand people's frustration with him. I'm not going to choose to crush him right now. There's a lot of other things you could be upset about. I'm not going to choose to be upset about Ryan Walker. He was put in an unfavorable position. As you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live in the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. We're talking about the Giants and whether or not they have taken a step forward this season in your eyes, Giants fans, as their postseason hopes have officially come to an end with a loss to the, not Arizona, but the St. Louis Cardinals last night. Final score 9-8. They'll try to salvage that series today. And then they wrap up a three-game series against the Rockies over the weekend. And yeah, you mentioned their attendance total. That's kind of what I'm looking at too. The Giants fans are reciprocating that love. And the people are coming back to the ballpark ever since, obviously, COVID happened and it was tough. And in 2021, I think they had 1.6 million in attendance, their home attendance, obviously. And then 2022, 2.4. 2023, 2.5. 2024, 2.6. 2025, 2.7. It's probably going to be close to 3 million, Joe, after today and then over the weekend. That shows you that they are going in the right direction because the fans are reciprocating.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you 2024 and 2023. Okay, so two opening day lineups. All right. Name me anyone who was the starter opening day on 2023 and 2024, just to show how far we've come for the Giants.
So Matt Chapman, obviously, last year.
Matt Chapman is one.
Okay.
At third base in 2024.
Elliot Ramos?
Elliot Ramos was not in 2024? On the team in 2024. He got called up midway through.
That was incredible. You're right. Let's go to Yastrzemski.
Yastrzemski was your right field starter in 2024.
Let's go to Patrick Bailey.
Patrick Bailey, one of the years in 2024.
Jung-Hoo Lee.
Jung-Hoo
Lee, 2024 center fielder.
Right? Yeah. This is just 2024 and 2023.
Pick either one.
Are we going to start? Are we going not pitching?
This is just the opening day lineup.
And then obviously
Logan Webb was your pitcher Logan both Webb, times. Just both to give times. You, he's done it four years in a row.
Yeah. J.D. Davis.
J.D. Davis? Not your opening day third baseman in 2023.
Sam's devastated by that one.
It was Wilmer Flores.
Wilmer, wow.
And we've learned he can't move. I'll give you your first baseman. Both years. Lamont Wade Jr.
Lamont.
Think about where you are.
I've already forgotten. No, seriously. The late night Lamont, it was super late.
He was the hitter this year.
It must have been 2 in the morning, Lamont Wade Jr., because I forgot about him.
This year. Your catcher in 2023 was Roberto Perez.
Oh, my God.
Can you
was Luis Matos?
DH?
Was Luis Matos anywhere?
Luis Matos no. Not there. Your other left fielder, your left fielders, Conforto in 2024.
Oh, no.
You'll never get 2023.
Slater?
No.
No.
Starts with an S. Blake Sable.
Sable!
Carter had Sable back here.
Sable!
Can you name your second baseman? Opening day, 2024, 2023. Just think of how far we've come.
Tyro Estrada.
Both years.
Let's go! Yeah.
All right? And then your last one
Rockies
is...
Rockies legend right now, Tyro Estrada.
Your DH both years.
Ooh.
2023. Pasoy.
Well,
oh,
jock
wow, Jock.
Year. Okay,
and
last 20, year.
What was 2024? What was last year? You tell me.
It was the guy they gave a bunch of money to on a three-year deal. Jorge Soler. Exactly.
I forget. Carter said Jorge Soler.
Jorge Soler walks with a Gerard Encarnacion can run.
I hate you so much.
So just hear me out. Okay, this is why it's a building block year. Look at this year. You have Ramos, who batted leadoff last night, playing left field. It's the first time we've had a homegrown guy hit 20 home runs in a long time. Look, I got questions on him on defense. I have crazy questions on him as a baseball player. But he's been a good baseball player. I want him to improve in a lot of areas. Reduce the strikeouts, play better defense. In the two-hole last night was Raffy Devers. He was your first baseman. Raffy Devers hit 20 home runs since being acquired by the Giants.
Mm.
It's pretty crazy. Right,
yeah.
And that's a down year.
Yeah.
You had 33 home runs. It's a down year. Willy Adames was your starting shortstop, all right? Willy Adames, all right?
Yep.
He's going to hit 30 home runs. 226. If that's a down year, I'll take it. Chapman, really down year. 20-something home runs, 20-something doubles, 232. I still think it's a down year, but better.
Well, Bryce Eldridge. Team in war still, if you want to care about that, 3.9.
Whatever. Yeah. Bryce Eldridge was my DH last night. Pinch hit by Wilmer Flores in the ninth. Jung-Hoo Lee, all said and done, he's going to bat 15 points over league average at 261. I still think there's a lot of room to grow. Bailey is your catcher. Christian Koss or Casey Schmidt. Last night it was Christian Koss at second base. And then you got Gilbert in right field. So to me, you got three or four positions that are up in the air, right? A couple outfield spots, the catcher, and then you clearly need to improve your starting rotation. They've come a long way. Just think of how far they've come. So I know we want to be championship or bust year after year after year in every sport. Sometimes you got to crawl before you can walk, before you can run. Right now, we're walking, and I'll take it.
Logan Webb echoed those same sentiments, Joe, calling this Giants team the most talented he's been on.
Every year is different. I think this year is probably the most frustrating. I definitely, no offense to the teams we've had before, but this is the most talented team I've been on. And yeah, I think there's a lot of expectations, and yeah, it sucks. You know, you trade for, looking back at that, was it May or June? When that first game in LA to go up. And it's June, right? There's so much baseball. I mean, you see what happens. It's happening all around baseball right now. It's a crazy sport, but you know, we trade for a guy like Devers, and we're excited. It's not that. It's kind of hard to pinpoint. You know, when things go wrong, it's unfortunately just seems like we've let it stay wrong for a long time, and that's not a very good recipe for success. And unfortunately, it seems like this is four straight years where it's been the exact same thing. So yeah,
I think he's right. I 100% agree with him. This is the most talented nucleus that they've had since he's been here. Way more so than 2021. 2021, a lot of guys played over their heads. You know, you call it fluke, outlier, whatever you want to call it. Like, we all can acknowledge, like, a lot of things fell into place.
Yeah, they caught lightning in a bottle, for
yeah,
sure.
Right? And look, they get a lot of credit for that. It is the most talented team, and yet still flawed. I want to make that clear. Still flawed. There's still a couple off-seasons trade deadlines away. Like, I think they need to add to the mix.
They're right now, they're still fourth in a division that might have three playoff teams. And the Diamondbacks are right there. That was a huge win for them last night.
No doubt.
They only game back of the Mets for that third wild card spot. They're fighting right there. And they have, again, I compare them first because I know everyone wants to compare them to the Padres and Dodgers, the Giants. Compare them just to the D-backs. D-backs had all the reason in the world to lie over
no doubt.
This year. And they didn't. They've had injuries ever. Hell, Corbin Burns, their big offseason signing, hasn't even like participated this season because he had Tommy John.
But I think the quote that we heard last night was, "This is the most talented team I've played on." Like, that initially hit me. But then when I heard his full response, he's like, "Yeah, but for whatever reason, you know, we just didn't." And then I go, "Well, I know what the reason is. It's Pop Melvin." Duh. I'm not saying they should have been able to overcome some of their roster flaws. But, like, you can't be stinky. And I'm talking as bad winning percentage wise as the White Sox for 50 games and think you could dig yourself out of it.
We'll jump back into this with Dave Fleming at 8:30, but I do want to compare and contrast a little bit this Giants year with what's currently going on with the San Francisco 49ers, Joe, because you view this as a building block season for the Gigantes. Are fans viewing this 49ers season as a building block type of a year? 888-957-9570 is the number. We'll get into that. And by the way, Dub Nation, the preseason is right around the corner, and 95% of the game is tipping things off in style. Join us at Pier 39 on Saturday, October 4th, for a Warriors preseason special you won't want to miss. Live appearances from Warriors favorites like Festus Ezeli, Zaza Pachulia, Kellen Azubuike, Tim Roy, and our very own Bonte Hill. Plus, your chance to win tickets to the first preseason game on Sunday, October 5th, as the Warriors host LeBron James and the Lakers. If that's not enough, Evan Giddings and Guru will be broadcasting live from 12 to 4. It's hoops, it's hype, and it's the season that's almost here. And your station for everything, the Warriors, 95.7 The Game. And that's what's coming up, brought to you by Life Source Water Systems.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To find out whether it's a problem with no Nick Bosa, as he is out for the season with a torn ACL, and obviously 49ers will be without George Kittle this week as he is still serving that minimum four games off after getting put on the IR. So you got to do the at minimum there of four games before he can come back and return, and hopefully he could be a semblance of himself. That hamstring is going to be tricky. What version of Brock Purdy will we be seeing? And he is going to be practicing. All reports indicate he's been practicing today. Is it going to be limited? Is it going to be mobile? We'll see. We'll find out more tomorrow in that regard. But we were just talking about the Giants as their playoff hopes officially were extinguished yesterday. And the Niners are hoping that they could be a playoff team this year. And, you know, you referenced, Joe, that it was a building block type of a season for the Giants. And I do wonder where Niner fans are at with this season, with this current team right now. They are 3-0. And whether expectations have shifted now from before the season to now with the Nick Bosa injury, we'll get into all of it. But it got me thinking about sports in general and how to define a building block year and if it matters sport to sport. Or is it the same? Because I view, you know, the NBA, we could see the building blocks coming with the Oklahoma City Thunder, who are now the reigning champions. Like, we saw they were coming for multiple years. Every year they improved, getting, whether it was in the first round, okay, they got ousted. The next, they made the second round the year after that. And then they finally got over the hump, and they were able to win the whole thing. And we all kind of saw it coming, right? Those were building blocks. If you want to go more local, you know, you referenced the 09 Giants, right? That was a building block for 2010, even though
they won 80-something games.
There you go. Yeah, you saw it coming.
Pablo, and yes, yeah, you saw definitely. You saw them building something. The pitching staff was really good. Lincecum won his second Cy Young Award.
Right, you saw with the Mark Jackson Warriors. I know they were ended up being a first-round exit after they had gotten to the second round and losing to the Clippers, but you saw the team improving year to year. They made the big coaching change.
The building block year was 2012-2013.
There you
go. They took this quantum leap forward.
Yeah.
I would say they were disappointed. They stubbed their toe in the building block year. I think the year after the big quantum leap forward.
But you saw the talent there. You saw,
no doubt.
But also that there needed to be a change.
Yes,
and the right change was made. They shifted to Steve Kerr, and the rest was history. And they go on one of the greatest runs we've ever seen.
I would say in football, though, it's a different sport, and we can get into it. In 2022, you could see the Lions coming. They went 9-8 that year. You could see, oh, wow, they're winning big games down the stretch. That team has a lot of good building blocks. And then the very next year, they go 12-5, and then last year, go 15-2.
Absolutely. I think Sam referenced, you know, you can reference some Niners teams back in the day. I think he referenced the 2015 Raiders with Derek Carr, you know, Jack Del Rio taking over. You saw that they were making building blocks.
I would argue the 2018 Niners, though they were so disappointing, the final handful of games, they beat Seattle in the rain, for example, with Nick Mullins. Like, you could feel like they were building towards something.
And they were competing in all the games. Like, that's what made it so frustrating those years, that they were in every single one of them.
Even though they had the number 2 overall pick. It felt like they were. No, it really did.
No, seriously, though.
2018, I thought they ended it on a high note.
And that number 2 overall pick ended up being Nick Bosa, obviously out for the year. By the way, as we're talking about the 49ers, I do have to mention we're going to be back at Laughing Monk Brewing in Sunnyvale for the kickoff show. Great food, great drinks, and great games in the parking lot. The show starts at 10 a.m. with Evan Giddings and Lorenzo Neal, and all the early games will be on for you to watch as well. And get this, if you're going to the game, I'm going to keep mentioning this, we're going to be mentioning it all week, there is a free shuttle to and from the stadium. That is massive. Park at Laughing Monk for free, and then get a free shuttle to and from the stadium. All you have to do to sign up and reserve a spot is go to 95centthegame.com, click on the kickoff show graphic, and then click on the Eventbrite link and sign up. See you there. 888-957-9570 is the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. All right, so that brings us to this. We're talking about building blocks and defining building blocks, and I think we did that for the each and given sport. Are you viewing this Niners season as a building block season, Joe?
I don't know. Like, so if I was comparing and contrasting the three teams right now, Warriors, Giants, Niners, I don't think the Warriors, because of how old they are, can have a true building block season. It's really like, hey, you gotta win a championship or go really, really, really deep. And anything in between, like, it doesn't really matter about the growth. Today, it doesn't really matter about Pajemski and Kuminga and their growth long-term, because we're really focused on the now.
Could last year be viewed as a building block for the Warriors, considering where they were and then where they ended up being? They were clinging to a 10th spot.
The optimist could say that. I would say they were kind of middling, going nowhere, and then they caught lightning in a bottle, and now I'm trying to see if it was real or not.
Okay, and that's
so I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
By the way,
I need more time to be able to have perspective.
Warriors media day on Monday, Joe, and we'll wait and see what's going on with Jonathan Kuminga and the qualifying offer, which has to be done by next Wednesday, October 1st. So we are monitoring that situation all week long.
And then, like, the Giants have been so low for so long, similar to, like, the Detroit Lions, that I think this year was a building block year for me, where they've actually got some pillars, Adamus, Chapman, Devers, hopefully Eldridge, you know, Robbie Ray, Logan Webb. Like, they're trending in the right direction. I didn't think they were a champion or even close to a champion. I was hopeful they could compete for a playoff spot. They kind of did in a roundabout way. But I can see that they're going in the right direction. The Niners, they've got so many players that are closer to the Curry level, meaning Hall of Famer. It's hard to say that they can have building block years when you're paying a franchise quarterback $55 million a year. It's hard to say you have building block years when you pay a pass rusher at the time the most ever in the league for a defensive player. It's hard to say that when you have a Hall of Fame linebacker and a Hall of Fame tight end. But it is football. And year to year, things change so dramatically that you're not a startup. You're not an expansion team. You know what I mean? Like, if you were drafting top five and you're starting from scratch, for example, Tennessee can have a building block year.
Yeah, they were the number one overall pick. They got Cam Ward. They're clearly, yeah, if they can win six games, that'd be a massive success.
Now, you were 6-11 last year, but your roster would say you're better than 6-11. Your coach would, you know, you're better than 6-11. So I'm kind of somewhere in the middle on the Niners in terms of building block. I'm not sure it can be, but like for guys like Ricky Pearsall and Dominic Pooney and all the young players on defense, like D Winners and stuff, can they build off this year? Hell yeah. But the windows are just so quick and so short in football. I have a hard time thinking there's this big carryover for every team in the league.
That's why football's the best. It's because every single week you live and die, and either you win and it's a victory Monday, and right now the Niners are 3-0. We haven't reacted to a loss yet. And it's been jubilation, it's been joy. There is a sense, though, I feel like when I talk to my Niner fans, my Niner buddies, all of that, when they're texting me, they're like, yeah, this is nice. Let's see. There's still some, I'm not totally jumping in to the warm water here and going all in. This is a Super Bowl team. This is a playoff contender. There's still some trepidation. And I think most football fans are like that. Like, even teams that we expect to be there at the end, they're not satisfied with being 3-0. And it is funny, like, we had Baldy on yesterday, and the Philadelphia Eagles, after one quarter of getting just owned by the Rams, just one quarter, were booing them off the field. It's just one quarter. And again, that's Philly. They're unique. That's their thing, whatever. I mean, they just won the Super Bowl, for God's sakes, back in February. But they're not even satisfied. They don't feel good about themselves right now. They don't feel like this is where they want to be. And I don't think Kyle Shanahan and Robert Saleh are viewing it the same way. That's what makes them so great. They're like, yeah, we could be better. It's great that we're 3-0. We could be even better going forward, and they're going to have to be without Nick Bosa, obviously, the rest of the season.
So do you think you can have a building block year with this team? Like, name another quarterback situation like this, meaning you've paid the guy, you know, good money. Name another building block situation. Would Buffalo have a building block year? No. Would Baltimore? No. Can the Chargers have a building block year?
Yes. If the Chargers go to the
AFC... I thought last year was a building block year.
Yeah, but they got popped in the playoffs. That's twice now Justin Herbert has lost in the first round. If they surpass the first round, I do think that's a building block type of year.
All right. So now, what about the Rams?
The Rams, no. They need to at least get to the conference title or the Super Bowl for it to be deemed a somewhat of a success. Tampa Bay, they need to break through as well. That's a couple times now with Baker. Now, they did win the one playoff game against the Eagles a couple seasons ago. Yeah. But no, they need to break through now. There is no more building blocks for Baker and Todd Bowles. They need to win in the playoffs.
I guess where I'm going with this is that I think when you pay the quarterback, there's a level of he's established.
Yes.
And so then I think that kind of removes the building block element.
I also think it matters.
That's why Herbert, to me, is an interesting one. That why you say, I'm not disagreeing with you. I find that the Herbert one fascinating. I have as many questions on Herbert as everyone. But I also think he's really talented.
It's not just Herbert, and I'm glad you brought this up, because I do think the head coach matters a lot in these conversations. The fact that it is Jim Harbaugh, you referenced Colin Cowherd the other week. He said Jim Harbaugh's the greatest coach of all time.
That's what Cowherd said.
That's what, like, okay, great. Like, you can't be one and done and get popped against the Texans. Your quarterback looked like dog poop in your first year at the Chargers.
But
it's great that you got there, but now you got to start winning.
No, I hear you, but I think to make sure we give it full context, he was saying that to go from college and be great at multiple stops in college, go to the NFL, be great in the NFL, go back to college, be great again, win a national championship, and then go back to the NFL and be great in the NFL. No one's done that. Like, back and forth, back and forth.
Well, back,
that's what
the
he
back
was
and forth aspect, but I'd still argue Jimmy Johnson and Pete Carroll for using that analogy, guys that have won on both. I mean, Barry Switzer to an extent, too. Like, I would put them probably above him as we're talking about it, but that's a more, we could get into that conversation another time. I guess what I'm saying here is the building blocks matter with the head coach and the quarterback tandem together. So that's what, to your point, it is hard for me to say you could have a building block season when you do have the highest paid player in the history of your organization right now, and Brock Purdy as the quarterback, and we'll see today if he's going to be healthy enough to play in week four against the Jags. You do have a guy in Kyle Shanahan that's been to two Super Bowls now, one with Jimmy Garoppolo, one with Brock. You got your guy back here, Robert Saleh. The defense has been playing very well. Like, expectations, I guess, change weekly in the NFL.
No,
that's what makes it different for me from the other sports, Joe. For me, it does.
No, I hear you. Yeah. I do find it interesting, and I feel like Niner fans want their cake and they want to eat it too.
Yeah.
And they want to jump through hula hoops to justify multiple things that kind of contradict each other. We all think Purdy's really good, but if you suggest that he's not elite, people lose their minds. But using the algorithm of all the elite quarterbacks are held to certain standards and you can't have building block like seasons. Like, do you get what I'm saying? Like,
there's a contradiction. I'll give you the teams right now that are allowed to have building block seasons. I'm going to give you the teams right now. I have them all in front of me.
Because I get confused with the Purdy thing as well.
The Bills are not one of those, but I'm just going to go by division. We'll start in the AFC.
Okay, just give me all the top dogs.
All right. Patriots, this is a building block season. Mike Vrabel, first year.
Give me the ones who are. We know the ones who aren't. Like,
I'm telling you the teams that are allowed to have building block seasons this year.
No, but who isn't? Because it's a smaller list.
Okay, who isn't? The Bills aren't having a building block season.
Okay, one.
The Miami Dolphins are not having a building block season. They need to at least like get to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, I just think they're done, but okay, that's fine.
No, but I'm telling you.
Okay,
like,
okay.
That's a reason why they might be done. Mike McDaniel and Tua both might be gone. So Bills, Dolphins, Bengals, nope. Sorry. No. The Steelers, nope. They need to win.
I agree on the Steelers.
Ravens, they need to win.
Yeah.
There you go. I think the Jacksonville Jaguars, they need to win, man. Trevor in particular got paid a lot of money.
I think just making the playoffs would be an unreal year for them.
Sure.
Okay.
But there
you
go.
I'll give you the Jags.
Texans, they've been to the playoffs 2 years in a row now. They're not looking too good, but they can't have a building block type of season. The last 2 years were building blocks, right?
Okay.
All right. I referenced the Chargers. Is this a building block type of a year for them? I think they need to win.
Chargers?
Yeah. The last year was their building block season.
That's the way I viewed it.
Yeah. All right. The Broncos. I think everyone crowned them. I wasn't part of it. They're 1-2 right now. I'm going to say this is not a building block year for them. They need to win. They got to the playoffs last year. Kansas City Chiefs, they're the Chiefs.
They
don't do building blocks anymore.
They're all in every year.
There you go. The Philadelphia Eagles, no more building blocks. No more. No.
Yeah, I agree.
The Washington Commanders, this is an interesting one.
I think they can't have a building block year.
They were in the conference title game last year.
Yeah, that was you know, by circumstance. Not saying that they didn't earn it. You're the Commanders. Like, again, going through the Detroit Lion algorithm, having back-to-back great years would be a huge step for the franchise.
Now, this is an interesting one right here. We're talking about teams that are having building block type of years or would be allowed to have a building block type of year right now. And are the 49ers, 888-957-9570.
Are you allowing them to just have a good year and that's it?
Exactly.
And that's it. And just and be optimistic.
Dallas Cowboys. What do you... Now, I know. It's an interesting one in how we view it.
I just think they suck.
Okay. But if they make the playoffs this year, Joe, would you say it's a successful season?
Oh, hell yeah.
Like, you wouldn't expect that.
Yeah,
Brian Schottenheimer,
so I would not
put
them on this list.
Okay. So they're not. Okay. The Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, they got to win.
They got to win, right? They're 2-1 right now. What about the Minnesota Vikings? J.J. McCarthy, you
I
got
think because
Carson
of
Wentz
McCarthy,
now.
They're allowed to have a building block here.
Okay, fair enough. But They just did that with Sam Darnold. I hear you. That's an interesting one, too. Detroit Lions.
Oh, they got to win now.
They got to win now.
Yeah.
And they're look. Hey, by the way, we're all kind of crushing it. It's still early. Lions look good. That offense is not, right now, not missing Ben Johnson. How about the Chicago Bears?
Yeah, they can have a building block here. Because, okay. They have a long way to go. Okay. So, to me, they're a team, like, if they win 9 games, I think that'd be, they'd be throwing parades in Chicago.
Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I said there's no more building blocks for them. They need to win in the playoffs.
Yeah, I would agree, actually.
Okay. What about...
That's 14 teams.
And I think the rest of that division, quite frankly, they're all looking for building block seasons. The Panthers, the Falcons, the Saints.
Okay. So, is that everyone in the league?
NFC West is the rest of them. You said the Rams, no more building blocks. Cardinals, they just need to make the playoffs with Jonathan Gannon.
Rams. Yeah, I think they can. I think also Seattle
Seahawks.
Can.
Exactly.
All right. So, there are 15 teams, not named the Niners, who can have, like, they're all in. They got to win it now or go really, really deep. The common denominator on 13 of those 15 is they've paid their quarterback.
Yeah.
The only two with quarterbacks on rookie deals are the Texans and Broncos.
Yeah.
So where do the Niners
And play? I think I'd put the Commanders in there too, but I know you're not, and that's kind of where I'm at with it because they have a rookie contract as well. I think the Niners... Again, as I'm going through all these things, the NFC's wide open, man. Like, I'm getting to the point, if they go 4-0 after this week, yeah, no, this isn't a building block year for them. No, I'm not doing it. No building blocks anymore for the Niners. Not with Brock, not with CMC,
okay.
Not with Trent Williams, not with Kyle Shanahan, not with Robert Saleh back here. Ricky Pearsall, the way he's looking, you're going to get George Kittle back. There's too much talent on this team for me to say that this could just be a building block year. No, I'm not giving them that. No. And that's how highly I think of this team and organization.
Who does that pressure fall on? The whole team? The coach? Quarterback? Like, if you were just to break down how you were going to...
It's coach and quarterback. Coach ultimately, and quarterback. It's going to be the coach and the quarterback. And also... now that the Nick Bosa injury happened... It's going to be on Robert Saleh. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him to right this ship. And I know a lot of people aren't probably going to say that. He's going to be feeling his own pressure to, you know, all right, Fred's got to step up. Lenore, they've both stepped up. D-Winner's got to step up. Every single person on that defense is going to have to step up even
more. Did you hold Dan Campbell accountable when he lost Hutchinson? I didn't.
No, but they kept winning. But we all knew that the season wasn't going to go the way they wanted to.
They went 15-2.
They did, but Joe.
God, he was amazing.
But it wasn't just Hutchinson. Who else was it? Oh, it was Anzalone. It was everyone on that team.
Aaron Glenn did such a great job. That's why he got hired. But, like, I'm actually more impressed with Shanahan for the first three games than I've been in a long time. And it's because of what he's been able to fight through. You lose your quarterback that you paid all that money to. You lost Deebo Samuel. You lost Brandon Ayuk in injury for Ayuk, and Debo's not on the team anymore. You lost Nick Bosa now. You've been without George Kittle. You've been without Juwan Jennings, and you're still winning games. Like, I think the context definitely matters in this one, and I've thought that Kyle's done an unreal job. Yes, Saleh has done as well. And then I just think right now, like, what's going on with Purdy? Where is he at?
That's the big question.
Is he gonna play?
That's the big question this week.
Like, what's going on with Purdy?
I don't know.
I think I feel really good about the coach. It's the quarterback. And I'm not saying that no one's saying he stinks. It's just what's going on.
And I talked about it before the season started. That's why I was high on this team. I thought they had a chance to win the division against the Rams. Obviously, all the Matt Stafford back stuff. Hey, he's still a hit away from me saying, you know what? Jimmy Garoppolo might be right down that door if he has to miss a couple games. And do you feel better about having Jimmy Garoppolo as your backup than you want a guy like Mac Jones? I'm just saying.
So now that we've kind of, you're in the camp of like, hey, you should be all in, basically, is what you're going at.
I think Niner fans, I think a lot of them were ho-hum heading into the season. And a lot of them are slowly starting to believe again that, okay, we got some action.
Okay.
And I think you can, Niner fans. I'm telling you, you can jump in on this team. I'm allowing you to hit the cannonball off the diving board, jump all in on this team right now.
Well, I'm enjoying where they're at, but I'm also cautiously pessimistic in the sense that I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop with these injuries.
What do you mean?
It just feels like, you know, there are certain omens as the year goes on that you can only overcome so many injuries to so many guys. And, like, losing Bosa for the whole year, if it was like 2 months and I knew, hey, at some point he's coming back, I would have this head in my back of my head, like, hey, like, just you just gotta find a way to survive and tread water until he returns. And when he comes back, even if he's a different version of himself, you could figure it out. Like now, I'm just like, ah. Not that I'm not excited. Not that I don't think you got to. Of course, you got to play it out. Of course, you got to like try to make your team better at the deadline and improve in any way you can. But you can't. I don't know, man. You just can't be all in.
I understand what you're saying there. They've won in such gritty ways early on here. And I know Nick Bosa was a huge part of that game one and game two win. Obviously, single handedly winning it towards the end there, causing that fumble on Sam Darnold to seal the deal up in Seattle. But I'm very curious to see all these young guys step up now. And that's going to be the tale of the tape.
Can I be in wait and see mode?
Yeah, sure, you can. But I'm telling Niners fans, they're absolutely allowed to jump back in on this team. Like, there is a part of me that wants to be cynical and said, hey, you know, and I know you and Bonte, he joined us yesterday every single Tuesday. Like, this is why we don't do the schedule game. This is why we don't do that. Well, it's also kind of why we do the schedule game, because a lot of people that did the schedule game before the season had the Niners in this scenario. They thought they were 3-0. They thought they were better than the Seahawks. And right now, through 3 weeks, they were. Through 3 weeks, they've been better than the Cardinals. They're better than the Saints,
but,
okay, obviously.
But all the predictions that people had, all of them, in preseason, none of it came down the way that those games played out.
No, but they won.
I understand
they
that.
They won those games.
But now that we've watched those games, nobody was like, hey, you know what I think is going to happen? I think the Niners are going to throw a game-winning touchdown to Jake Tonjes on a 50-50 ball. Like,
no, but we talked about it, Joe, and why did I take the Niners even with the backup? Because of Kyle Shanahan. And I knew he was better. He's a better head coach than all three of those other guys. McDonald, who's my interim coach, Kellen Moore. And then obviously last week against Jonathan Gannon. And then this week against another first-time head coach, as we did that exercise the other day, Liam Cohen. And we know Kyle Shanahan's record against first-time head coaches in their first year. It is very, very good. It's already 1-0 this season with a chance to go 2-0 this Sunday at Levi's.
I'm in such wait-and-see mode because I'm guarding. I don't want to get emotionally down anymore, and I'm still gutted for Bosa, and it's just like, I'll talk myself into Sunday. Well, I'm just talking big picture. I feel like I've put an artificial ceiling on the season.
It's funny
sucks.
That we're talking big picture a little bit right now, and it's a week-to-week league, and we're going to continue to focus on it. But just check out what everyone else, the national media, because I know we like to get in our own bubble here, but I always think it's nice to take a step back and hear the noise on the outside and what people are saying about the Niners. We got a couple cuts here I want to get to. First and foremost, we'll start with Mike, my paisan, Garofolo, NFL Network, on the Niners still being
a
team you gotta respect. And you know what? He is an Italian.
So I think we're sleeping on the NFC West, but I think we're sleeping on this team as well. And I understand the impact of the Nick Bosa injury. That is an enormous loss. But this is still a team with a lot of talent that has done everything they can to win every game that they've played so far. I still think that they are a team that needs to be reckoned with. And if they keep winning games against a soft schedule, okay? I don't want to say easy. But a schedule that sets up nicely for them to pad their record. How about that? I'm just using different words here. I think the 49ers are a team that is going to be a factor in January.
He thinks they're going to be a factor in January. That's Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, from a national perspective. And you don't trust Mike? Well, here's a guy that comes on our stations as weekly or every other week. Ross Tucker, Odyssey NFL Insider, obviously does a lot of work, former player, does a lot of work on the radio side, Westwood One. Ross Tucker, he had the Niners in the Super Bowl, Joe, before the season. I know, it's crazy. No one else was saying that. I'll give him his credit there. They're 3-0. He's pumping his chest. He still thinks they have an opportunity to do that, even with the injuries. Check this out. Yesterday, on with Grandy and Goo.
I'm really bummed about this. I don't know if you guys know this, but in my predictions before the season on the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, I had the Niners going back to the Super Bowl. I was really believing in a big bounce back year, and I feel pretty good about that. By the way, with them at 3-0, even with no Ayuk and Kittle gets hurt, no Purdy. I mean, I'm feeling pretty good about that pick. But you know, there was kind of two schools of thought. I felt like coming into this year for the Niners, there were the people that believed, you know, that they would have a bounce back year and the guys would stay healthy and all that.
Listen up, football fans! You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like me, I guess. And then there were others that thought, you know, they just get injured all the time. They've gotten older, and it's kind of past the window for the Trent Williams and McCaffreys and some of these guys.
So he's still doubling down, Ross Tucker, on his Super Bowl prediction. And I want to ask Niner fans, through 3 weeks, and we just had a major injury, Nick Bosa out for the year. Do you want a do-over on your preseason predictions, Niner fans? And I'm allowing you to do so. I am giving all of you a mulligan right now. If you thought one way or the other about this 49ers team, if you thought like Ross Tucker, they were going to a Super Bowl, are you doubling down on that? Or are you taking it back? 888-957-9570.
What was your preseason prediction?
I thought they were going to be 10-7, 11-6, kind of that range. We did the exercise on the red and gold show, the summit, if you will. And I thought they were going to be a playoff team. And I still believe that. It's going to be one or two in the division with the Rams. Both those teams are getting in my opinion. And so I'm sticking with that. I think they're going to be 11-6 on the season. I believe that. What about you, Joe?
Well, I think I had said something like, I think they can win 10 or maybe up to 11 if everything goes right and nothing's gone right.
And they're still winning.
I mean, it feels
they're,
like, in terms
still
of health.
But they're still winning.
I still have them in like an 8-9 win zone.
Okay.
Either 8-9, 9-8.
Do you want to adjust that? I'm giving you a mulligan.
I think right now, I want to see how they play these next 3 weeks. So they've got the Jags, the Rams, go 1-1. Then you get the Bucks. If you go 0-3, like all that stuff that started, like now you're in a tough spot. If you go 2-1 against Bucks, Rams, Jags, I feel really good about getting those 10 wins.
I think it matters starting this week against the Jaguars. This is a huge litmus test for them. It really is, because no one knows early on like who you are as a team. You start get to know after 4 weeks. You kind of start quarter of the season. I know it's not officially 17.
Well,
now,
and of all the, like, I call it the preseason rust.
Right. That's gone. We're almost to October. We're going to start getting to the heart of the season. You kind of know who you are a little bit after four games. Not to say that you can't have a comeback, and you can. Usually the better coach teams do. They get healthier. You saw the Rams last year. They were clinging to hopes, and they rattled off a bunch in a row, and they end up going to the playoffs and almost upsetting the Eagles in Philadelphia. But I'm giving Niner fans a mulligan right now. Yeah, I'm allowing you to have a mulligan on your preseason predictions. 888-957-9570.
There's the regular season, and then there's like beyond. And I keep thinking, like, look, who they play in the regular season, like, it is advantageous to them. Looking beyond that, their personnel just is not as good, even with a healthy Bosa, as Detroit right now. Their personnel is not as good, even with a healthy Bosa today, as Philadelphia. I don't know about Green Bay. I'm kind of up in the air on Green Bay. I need to see more from them. Minnesota, I love their personnel. Their quarterback was the huge question mark for me, right? And so Tampa, I'm kind of up in the air on Tampa. I'm still making evaluations
Mike
on them.
Mike Evans hamstring?
Yeah. And so...
You're not a believer in this team yet. You're not.
It's just they've sustained a lot of injuries.
They have, but they're getting their quarterback back. Like, let me put it to
and
you this way, Joe.
What's he gonna look like?
Well, let me put it to you this way. If all those other teams you referenced...
They've gotten good quarterback play.
But
would you agree?
Yeah, they have. I've loved Mac up. The Mac Jones aura these last 2 weeks.
Like,
it's been great.
They've gotten, like, game one, Purdy was excellent.
Yes.
So, like, what happens when their quarterbacks play a couple stinkers? Because you're just going to. Like, even the great ones have stinkers.
Sure, you're going to lose some games. I'm not here to say they're going to go undefeated. They're going to lose some games this season.
What if Kittle comes back and he re-aggravates? Like, there's just
so much...
You've
won without him the last couple weeks. You can win a game.
Yeah,
You can win.
No, I just...
The way that Pearsall
has emerged...
I think
this Bosa loss is huge.
We're not talking enough about it. We're just kind of... I just think
it's a huge loss.
They have Fred Warner. They got Dion Lenore. You have pieces still defensively. Had this been a Detroit Lions situation, as everyone keeps referencing last year, when you lost Anzalone and Hutchinson and all these other guys, and everyone just kept going down and down and down. Was it Terrion Arnold?
Yeah, but like, they had on offense, best offensive line in the league, Gibbs and Montgomery, LaPorta, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jameson Williams. All in their prime.
And the Niners have won these first 3 weeks without a running game. That makes me actually more optimistic about their chances going forward, because eventually it's going to get to where it needs to be, Joe. They can't be this awful running the ball all season long. That's just not going to happen.
No, and I sound so down on them, and I'm not trying to be. I'm just... I have to see what they look like against some of these better competition. The Rams and the Bucks are two potential division winners. I want to see what they look like against those types of teams.
Okay, fair enough.
I'm in a very wait and see mode right now.
So you're giving a couple more weeks to kind of see where
the
team is at.
I'm still in assessment mode. You know, like I have question marks on their secondary currently.
Do you feel like Shasky feels? Are you still in wait and see on this 49ers team? 888-957-9570. That's the number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. As we now go to Josh on the 80, wants to join in the conversation. What's up, Josh? You're on the Morning Roast.
Good morning, fellas. Happy to be here with you guys on a Wednesday. But yeah, I'm kind of with you, Joe, as I think about it, just because a win is a win, so I'm not gonna put them down. They're winning. They're playing really gritty football, and it's really kind of exciting games to watch. But it's kind of like, you know, to give an example, like the Vikings last year, right? When they have so many one score victories and you pull them out, it's like, is this team really real? If you look at all the other 3-0 teams this year, they've all had some dominant victories. The Niners haven't had that dominant victory yet. And they also don't have a schedule that's going to show you how they compete with the upper echelon of teams. So I think all season it's going to kind of be like, are they really one of those teams until they start dominating these lower opponents, right? The Seahawks, but the Saints, and they blew them out. When we played them, it was kind of like down to the fourth quarter, right? But we don't have all of our – we get all of our pieces, then we're really going to know. So it's going to be kind of this wait-and-see type of idea all the way until the middle of the season, until George is back, Ayuk is back. You know, the defense is playing really well. We kind of have everybody back in rotation. That's when we're going to know where we are. But it's kind of funny because even at that time, we play the Bears, the Texans, right? Don't really have anybody that's going to be upper echelon to really see to say where.
Thanks, Josh. You're cutting out there. This is going to be a huge game this Sunday against the Jags, because the Jags are also, I'm sure their fan base, again, talking about fan bases I've never met in my entire life, a Jaguars fan.
The only reason I've met a couple of Jags fans is because it's the home of golf. There's a lot of golfers out that way.
Yeah.
And so I know a lot of people have relocated to the Jacksonville area and are totally in on golf.
Well, excuse me. I remember Mia O'Brien, ESPN Radio, who covers the Jacksonville Jaguars down in Jacksonville, Florida. She said Mac Jones grew up a Jags fan. So there's one. Mac Jones is a big Jags fan. Remember he had a Blake Bortles jersey.
Yes, to your point, Joe, too.
Thank you.
I think Brooks Koepka is as well.
Brooksy? He's a Florida Panthers fan. I know he gets after
it. Did you see the photo last night?
Well, which one?
All the Ryder Cup guys with their wives.
Oh, everyone's crazy.
There's one with John Rahm and his wife that's making the rounds, and people are...
Yeah. I need to check
there's
this out.
A lot
out.
Of talk.
My wife, Ian San Jose, wants to join in the conversation. What's up here on the Morning Roast?
Good morning, boys. I wanted to talk to you about how Shanahan and Sala, and pretty soon Mike McDaniel as a senior consultant and then offensive coordinator next year, they triaged not having Ayuk, not having Kittle, not having Brock, now not having Bosa, and they're still 3-0 with no running game. Like, this is exactly what good teams do with next man up. They bring up guys like... Tonjes, I'm not even sure if anybody is saying his name right. I don't even know if he knows how to say his name
right. No, you're right, Tonjes. But, you're good.
Okay, good. And just the amount of time, the amount of guys that they've had to bring up that nobody knows who they are, and they're still 3-0. Yeah, they played some pretty terrible teams. I mean, New Orleans is garbage, but they weren't supposed to blow out New Orleans because they had 4 out of 5 of their best players missing. Mac Jones just did what he needed to do. Last week, he beat Arizona on a bum wheel. for, I don't know, a quarter and a half whenever he blew out his, or when he hurt his knee and had to put a knee brace on halfway through. Like, that is something that the Niners haven't done in a long time. Once the top tier guys dropped off, the Niners were cooked. Now they're not. This is exactly what we wanted as Niner fans. So let's enjoy the 3-0. Let's see him go, I don't know, 12-5. You guys said 10, 11 wins. I'm thinking 12, 13 maybe, because how bad their schedule is, how soft. I just looked at it this morning with my son, and even I was laughing at it. Like, good Lord. They're playing college teams at this point. So, thank you, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Ian San Jose. I wouldn't go as far to say the Jaguars, the Bucks, Falcons, Texans are college teams. They would clap anyone in college football right now. That is a cliche that needs to die. Although, the best college football team would beat the worst NFL team. No. The NFL teams are all full of grown men.
You know the college all-stars used to face the Super Bowl champion.
And what happened?
It just happened all the time.
Oh, wait, the Super Bowl champions?
Huh?
What?
The NFL champion.
Oh, like the '60s and
fifties? Yeah.
And I'm sure they
the '60s and fifties. Like that's like forever gonna like the '40s and the '30s too.
Well, yeah, well I'm saying that was like 80 years.
No.
You're gonna go back to wax politically about the '30s and forties?
Yes? I mean, you wanna talk about the 1946-49ers and the AAFC and how they shared the division crown with the Browns in the late '40s. We can talk about that.
Let's go to the Axes and the Allies.
It was called the Chicago Charities College All-Star Game. It was a preseason American football game played from 1934 to 1976 between the college all-star seniors of the previous year and the NFL champions.
That makes more sense. But I'm glad you specified the seniors, because I was picturing a bunch of like freshman all-stars or all-Americans.
Freshmen didn't play back then.
Guys, college football was bigger at one time than the NFL. I know that's really hard. It's like the Niners, when they first became a team in 46, the Morabito brothers owned the team. They only drafted and only acquired players that went to Santa Clara, Stanford, Cal, like regional teams, USF, Bob St. Clair, for example, Bert Toller, guys like that.
Totally.
So, like, because they wanted those guys who were stars, college football stars, because they were bigger than the NFL.
888-957-9570 is the number. We got the injury report coming up here in the morning.
I teach you guys.
Yeah, clearly you got it, like Grandpa Joe over here. Yeah. I got the golden ticket. You got out of bed this morning.
The butcher's tail.
888-957-9570. We will touch more on this. Cut. Are you believing in this 49ers season? Or are you in wait and see mode like Shasky is? 888-957-9570. Injury report time.
It's time for the injury report.
That really hurts.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
Nick Bosa, not the only injured defensive lineman. Rookie defensive tackle C.J. West is going to have surgery on his broken thumb. The good news there, at least, is West is not expected to miss much time. Kyle Shanahan said that West will play with a cast on his hand. If he is not able to go this week, he should be able to go next week. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. And what's coming up in the game is brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. More of your calls, more of your texts. Dave Fleming also joining us at 8:30, our Giants broadcaster, as the Giants playoff hopes officially ended last night. We'll get back to that. Plus, old pal and former KTVU sports director Mark Abanez joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. And I'm sure Mark has a lot of time on his hands and a lot of thoughts on the current state of Bay Area sports. We'll get into all of it. We're halfway home here on a hump day. Spadoni, it's Shasky. It's the Morning Roast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.